Let's go again to God's Word, 2 Thessalonians 3. Listen to the Word of God. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way. The Lord be with you all. The salutation of Paul with my own hand, which is a sign in every epistle, so I write, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Well, Paul here in these last three verses, he signs off in his characteristic style. And there's something that he intends to communicate with his characteristic conclusion and his sign-off. And, you know, lots of public figures become famous for their sign-offs. If you've listened to Garrison Keillor in A Prairie Home Companion, you'll recognize his famous sign-off from the fictional town of Lake Wobegon. That's the news from Lake Wobegon, where the women are strong, the men are good-looking, and all of the children are above average. Or perhaps Garrison Keillor's sign-off on his daily writer's almanac on public radio, where he says, be well, do good work, and keep in touch. And he says those same words over and over and over and over again, program after program. And for those who are followers of the show, they never grow old. And it's the same thing with the way Paul concludes his letters. These are benedictions from God that ought to become very familiar to you as the people of God, and you ought to cherish these greatly. It's easy for us to just flash through them and read them in a hurry because we think we've seen these words before. We know what they mean. And you know what? You have seen them before, and you do know what they mean. But they're given to us with this kind of repetition so that they will become cherished in our hearts and so that we grasp and we ascertain the truth that is here. So there are aspects of the benediction, the blessing here that are repeated over and over. And I'd like us to look at three of these that you ought to cherish deeply in your own hearts. The first is the statement, the Lord be with you. He opens in verse 16 by speaking of the God of peace and prays that the God of peace would give them peace always in every way. And then he says, the Lord be with you all. Now, this is not the only time Paul uses this kind of language. He uses it at the end of Romans and at the end of 2 Corinthians with a very similar language to this. And his desire is that the people of God, that you would remember that as you go out from this place, as you conclude this letter, as you leave worship, the Lord is with you. And he wants you to know that and to experience it in a very rich way. And we attest to this even in our own English language, don't we? What word do we say in bidding for farewell? We say the word goodbye. And what does goodbye mean? It means in the Old English, God be with you, right? And so we, in bidding farewell, we say goodbye to one another. We say the same thing Paul does. It's just that we may not realize it. Our lack of knowledge in our own English language tradition and the biblical roots of it so often are lost. But we communicate the same way, a desire in parting that the other party would know that God is with them. Now, this is the God who brings peace, and he's recognizing that there's turmoil. There's a turmoil in all of life. We all experience it. The folks in Thessalonica experienced it. And how does this peace come? Well, it comes from the God of peace, the Lord of peace, the Prince of peace himself, Jesus Christ, of whom we're told in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. So this peace of God ought to overcome us in all of life as we remember and are made aware that God really is with us. And this is what Christianity is all about, isn't it? It's never about simply knowing the facts, knowing the right language, giving mental assent to the truths of Scripture. But it's about knowing the real, living and true and personal God who loves his people and who is here with us. So that's the first thing that Paul says, and he says it frequently in his blessings, in these benedictions that he gives to the people of God. And the second thing that he often highlights is his own signature. And you see that in verse 17. He says, the salutation of Paul with my own hand, which is a sign in every epistle, so I write. And he uses similar language at the end of 1 Corinthians, of Galatians, of Colossians, of this book here, and of the book of the letter to Philemon as well. And of course, in those days, it was probably a scribe that he's dictating to, and then at the end of the letter, Paul himself would sign it. And we know in other places that he signed with large letters. It's a sign of authenticity, isn't it? And of course, Paul knew that he wasn't simply writing his words, but that he was inspired by the Holy Spirit, and that he's writing God's words. And he's reminding them of this great blessing that they have, that the piece of leather, or the piece of papyri, or the piece of paper that you hold is not simply the word of men, as you conclude reading this letter, but it's the word of God himself, verified through the apostolic stamp of the Apostle Paul. These words are not simply the words of men, but they are the words of the Holy Spirit. And when we hold letters of ones we love, we cherish those letters, don't we? If you're married, you think back of perhaps a time before you were married when you wrote letters to one another, something that's being lost in our digital culture. But when you received a letter from your loved one of the things that you cherished about that letter is you realized that the piece of paper that you're holding in your hands was held in their hands, first of all. And they penned out very loving words so that you could hear, or that you could read, and that you could be comforted. And that's what we have in the Scripture, isn't it? And Paul, in using this kind of language over and over and over again at the end of his letters, is wanting the people of God, and wanting all of you who have the privilege of reading all these letters, to remember this, that God is with us. And how is he with us? Well, he gives us his word from pages that he himself has inspired. Well, he wants the folks in Thessalonica to remember this so that the word of God remains central. As they part ways, as they no longer will be getting new letters from the Apostle Paul, or at least there aren't more pages to read right now, he wants them to remember that God is with them and that God has spoken his word. So the question for you is, as you read these words in all of the epistles, do you cherish the fact that you have the Word of God? As you hear those common and familiar phrases, does it stir up love in your heart for God and gratitude for all that he's done? That's one of the things that the benedictions at the end of each of these letters ought to do. Well, the third statement that he makes is here in verse 18 in this benediction. He says, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all." And Paul uses this in some other letters as well. He uses it in Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, and Philemon. And if you were keeping track there, you realize that this statement is at the end of how many of Paul's letters? All 13. And it never gets old, does it? Now, you know what the grace of God is. It's his unmerited favor towards sinners so that they might be saved from their sin and that they might walk with God. This is not an unfamiliar concept to you. And yet Paul, in these closing words, wants you to remember it. He wants you to cherish this bestowal of God's blessing, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's with how many people? Look at it again. With you all. Not simply for the leaders of the church, not simply for the spiritually mature, but this is for all of you as you go out from this place. Now, a number of us went camping here over the weekend. And one of the things you know if you camp is just how pervasive fire, the smoke from the fire is. And it gets in all of your clothes. And it gets in everything that you have. And when you drive away and you come back to your house, you go and you realize that smoke is still with you, right? You were in the presence of that campfire and it's still with you even when you go home. And the grace of God has a little bit of that quality. When we're with God and when he is with us, We know it. We can't escape that fact. And what a blessed truth that is, that we cannot escape the grace of God by the power of His Spirit going with us wherever we go. So these words that Paul writes here at the end of 2 Thessalonians are few, but they are familiar, and they're designed, beloved, to give you comfort. These are the kinds of words that ought to be common in your vocabulary as a Christian, in our greetings and in our parting with one another. And we need this kind of grace to go with us in all of life. It's a grace that gives us freedom from guilt. It's a grace that ought to season our speech, as Paul says in Colossians 4. It's a grace that gives us humility in our dealings with one another. We see in Romans chapter 12, it's grace we see in Romans chapter 12 again that allows us to exercise our gifts. It's grace that allows us to sing we see in Colossians chapter 3. It's grace that allows us to worship we see in Hebrews chapter 11. We need grace in every way, don't we? You think about life, the turmoil of life, the people that you have to deal with, the situations. This is why we pray for grace, that God would give us grace in responding to all of the situations of life. And Paul's prayer for us, the benediction, is that the grace of God will be with us. No doubt about it. Well, it's not simply these letters that end with the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. If you look at the end of Revelation, you'll see that the whole of the Scripture ends with those very familiar words. These are words God wants to inculcate into your mind and into your thinking and into your being. And the blessing we have here in all of this is that it's not simply a folksy little sign-off that the Apostle Paul gives like Garrison Keillor does. And when he gives his little sign-offs, we're not exactly sure what it's supposed to mean, but it's folksy and he says it every time and we all like it. No, these are words of truth that give us strength as we go through all of life. And the other thing that, just in closing, that I'd like you to notice about these benedictions is that you only find them in the epistles. You really don't find this kind of language in the Gospels. Now, why would that be? Well, it makes all the sense in the world, doesn't it? We don't need to say, "The Lord be with you," when Jesus was in their presence. We don't need to say the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all when He's there in the flesh. When He's there, He's there. And we don't need to be reminded of it. And the great hope that we have, of course, is that Jesus Christ is coming back and that we will see Him face to face, and that He will be with us, and that we will be with Him forever and ever. So that's the great hope that we have. That's the comfort. I hope that these words, the words of the benediction, familiar as they are, warm your heart, and they inform your thinking as the people of God, as you go out week by week. And it's not simply a prayer on the part of the Apostle Paul. It is a declaration from God that you are blessed, and that the grace of God is with you in all that you do. And the last word that you see there in our New King James Version is the word Amen. And one comment on that word. As we look at the best manuscripts in this place and in many of the other epistles, the word Amen really isn't there in the original text. There are some manuscripts that had it, but it's easy to see where someone would add it later. And I believe that the word Amen, which means truly, Jesus says truly, truly, in the closing of the benediction, the word Amen is for the people of God. They give their affirmation to the statement of God's blessing upon them. God puts the blessing and the people respond how? Absolutely, truly, Amen, let it be. I'm in hearty agreement with that statement. And that's the kind of statement that we ought to respond to God's blessing with. Not simply a word that we say from rote memory, but a sense from the heart that we are grateful and that we give our affirming statement to this great blessing that God has given to us. Well, let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for your word. We thank you that we're not simply given words that are written like a textbook. But we thank you, Lord, that you've given us letters that you've written through men like the Apostle Paul. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us letters that communicate your love and your truth to us. And just like our letters, Lord, these letters end with words of love, words that say farewell and that are focused upon you. And we thank you, Lord, for the blessing that you give us as the people of God, the way you declare your blessing upon us as those who've been redeemed from sin by the blood of Jesus Christ. So, Lord, you know how easy it is for us to remember the jingle of advertisers and the way various people on various public figureheads sign off. Lord, we pray that more than anything, we would remember the end of these letters from your servants who wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and that we would remember that your grace really is with us because of your work on our behalf. We pray for your blessing now on your people in Jesus' name. Amen.